You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On College Football, the podcast where you get all the college football news. Each Monday, you'll have me, Candace Cooper, the host of Locked On Tar Heels, leading this talented team. So do yourself a favor, download and subscribe to Locked On College Football from anywhere. College football is back, and we hope you enjoy this past weekend. It felt a little bit like normal for all of us college football fans. And so here's what I got on tap for you today. Locked On Bulldogs' Daniel Marone talks to me about Jamie Newman's decision to opt out 3 weeks prior to the season starting and what the ramifications will be for Kirby Smart and the Georgia offense. Some other opt-out news that I have: Locked On LSU's Matt Moscona stops by to talk Ja'Marr Chase and his decision to opt out and the surprising reaction from LSU fans. Finally, I've got Locked On Longhorns' Patrick Kahn talking to me about the Big 12 and why it never looked back when it came to having the season full steam ahead and how Sam Ellinger is going to lead the Texas team to greatness. College football championship, who knows, but you're gonna find out here today. I'll have these stories for you next on Locked On College Football. Locked On College Football, we've got our first interview of the season. We are back and ready to go, and up now I have with me from Locked On Bulldogs, he covers everything Georgia, Daniel Monroe in the building. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Candace. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here. Talk college football.
Absolutely. Now, the SEC kept it rolling. They had no, you know, any kind of idea of stopping. How excited are you that the SEC has just, you know, pushed forward and we're getting ready for football?
I mean, at this point, it definitely seems like, looking back, that they were the most committed to playing football. But I'm not going to act like I was not incredibly nervous during the offseason that we were not going to get football. So
yeah,
I feel like we were sweating it out the entire time, wondering, you know, that day the Big Ten canceled was a dark day, and we thought there was no way that we were going to get it. But fortunately, cooler heads have prevailed, and we're going to get to watch our teams play football at least for a little bit, and hopefully for the entire season. So
100%. Now, you guys, Georgia was excited. Everyone was ready to go. We had our new QB, Jamie Newman. He's geared up, right? And the next thing
That's
you know,
right.
He's opting out. What in the world? How'd you guys react over there in Athens?
Yeah, it was tough. That was another tough day in the offseason. As a Georgia fan, we're used to tough days in the offseason. Normally has to do with like somebody getting arrested or something happened. But this was a tough day because Clint, my co-host, and I, we were on record. We were big time Jamie Newman fans. We were all in. We were bought into the new system and the new style and what he was going to bring, his ability to throw the deep ball. We were really excited about. And then 3 weeks before the season, he opts out, which is, the timing just seemed a little odd. I mean, I don't know why you go through half of fall camp and then opt out. It just seemed it seemed like there was something going on that we weren't sure about or that we didn't know about, but we'll never know any of that stuff. Kirby Smart obviously is not going to talk about any of that stuff. And so, it was tough. No denying that Jamie Newman was going to be the starter this year, so now it's on to plan B.
So I'm over here thinking that, of course, people opting out has to do with health concerns, blah, blah, blah. But I argued that he might have felt like he lost the QB battle, or was it always going to be Jamie?
That's what some people are speculating, just because of the timing and how it looked. I don't know that's necessarily true. Mm-hmm. I think all it takes is, you know, is one family member getting in somebody's head. I'm not saying this is what happened, but
right.
You know, you think about one family member getting in somebody's head saying, you opt out right now, you know, you go ahead and form a relationship with an agent, you go ahead and start preparing for the draft, maybe get a little advance on whatever that next year's salary is going to be. And so, I mean, all it takes is a few of those thoughts coming in, or, you know, it could have been health concerns, could have been COVID related, could have been, you know, it could have been that he wasn't happy with the offensive system and he didn't necessarily know that he was going to improve his, his number, his draft stock this year. I don't know what it was, but at the end of the day, again, we'll never know because, you know, nobody's ever going to come out and say it. So there's, all the speculations there, but I tend to think he was going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, after watching them play Carolina and getting their bricks beat off by Wake Forest, he just really took it to town for us. So I was like, okay, going to a Georgia, you're obviously going to have the opportunity to shine and get some more TV exposure because nobody's coming to Winston-Salem, North Carolina to watch in the same vein, right? Yeah. So it's very interesting. And well, we may never know. But now that Georgia is looking to JT Daniels and looking for, you know, that offense, what is going to get Georgia over the hump? Because I feel like they've always been right there. And then somehow it's like trips at the finish line.
I mean, really, yeah, we're talking about there's two positions on the field that or I should say two positions, one of which is on the field, that are the key to the season for Georgia. One is quarterback and the other is offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And they are both new positions. Todd Monken coming in, obviously James Coley being relieved of his duties now at Texas A&M as a tight ends coach. But bring in Todd Monken, more of a spread it out, throw it around. And people use the word air raid. I don't really like that word to describe Todd Monken, but it is more of a dynamic passing offense, supposedly, than Georgia has ever seen before. Who knows if Kirby was influenced, you know, by a LSU season last year or something like that. But you bring in a guy like Todd Monken, and then you got a brand new quarterback. So, yeah, it's probably going to be, assuming that he's cleared medically from the ACL, it's probably going to be JT Daniels. Former five-star kid, had a up and down freshman season, starting as a true freshman at USC. Obviously missed all of last year. So I think those two positions are the key. People are, you know, there's a lot of turnover on the offensive line. I'm not concerned about the offensive line whatsoever. There's great receivers. Obviously, you lose DeAndre Swift, but there's still great running backs. It's Georgia. There's always going to be great running backs. So it's that quarterback position. Can we move the ball on offense? Because I think one thing you can count on, Georgia's going to have a really good defense again this year. So as long as we are serviceable to above average on offense, I think we'll have a shot to win some games, at least win the East, and maybe get back to Atlanta and see what happens there.
I think Atlanta should be the motivation. There's nothing like playing closer to home. So, you know, it might be good for them this year. Kirby might get over that hump. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, well, here's the hoping.
But if you were going to predict where Georgia ends up in the AP top 25 polls, where would you, the end of the season now, all games played, we're hoping and praying, staying optimistic, where do you find Georgia?
End of the season, all games played, I think Georgia loses on the road in Tuscaloosa in week 4. Finishes the season 9-1, avenges that loss in the SEC championship game, and wins the college football playoff. I mean, what else do you want me to say, Candace? They're going to win the college football playoff. They're going to finish number one. Kirby Smart's going to hoist the national championship trophy. And that's it. That's the only way the season could go.
Listen, I appreciate people's optimism and the going hard for your team. Because 2020, anything can happen. Like, you have to throw it all out there.
That's right. We're going to play. We might as well just go ahead and win it all.
100%. Well, Daniel, I appreciate your time. Can you remind folks of where they can follow you and your work?
Yeah, it's Locked On Bulldogs. Clint and I are we try not to take ourselves too seriously, but we try to have a lot of fun cheering for Georgia and talking about the Dogs. So, Locked On Bulldogs at gmail.com, at Dogs Podcast on Twitter, and then check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts.
No doubt. Now, when they had Locked On Bulldogs, I was looking for the Bulldogs name to be a little different. Did you have to go back and forth with the crew about whether or not you could spell it correctly?
Locked On Bull. Well, the correct way to spell Bulldogs is Bulldogs.
Okay.
The correct way to spell Dogs, if you're just going to say Dogs, is Dawgs. So Locked On Bulldogs, no problem.
Okay.
But then on Twitter, at Dogs Podcast, spelled correctly, Dawgs. Perfect. Podcast. Perfect.
Okay. I just want to verify for the crew. You know, Georgia people, very particular about their dogs. So
that's right. That's right. Do it right. You're going
to
do it.
Daniel, I appreciate your time, and I look forward to talking to you down the line.
All right. Thanks, Candace.
Up next, I'll have Matt Moscona from Locked On LSU talking to me about LSU fans' reactions to Ja'Marr Chase's decision to opt out and how the LSU team is going to survive after a year of just having greatness, 15-0, Joe Burrow. How do you compete with that? You'll find out here on Locked On College Football. Now that we have college football in our midst, we are excited to talk it. And I have with me today Matt Moscona. Locked On is it Locked On Tigers or Locked On LSU? Make sure I get that right.
We are Locked On LSU. If you go those three letters around these parts, you can never go wrong.
Perfect. Matt, how are you today?
I'm probably as pumped as you are to have college football back. The fact that I went down a college football rabbit hole this weekend and was absolutely transfixed by Army and Middle Tennessee and South Alabama, it didn't even matter. I'm like, thank God this college. It just felt right to have college football on my TV on a Saturday.
100%. Now, the SEC was one of the main Power 5 conferences to kind of keep things rolling. Never kind of put their statements out or had medical advice, all of that. Did you expect the SEC to pretty much be on board with starting in September?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even back when quarantine first started, there was never any feeling that I ever had expressed to me from anyone at LSU or within the SEC that there was the idea of not playing. I think there's so many factors outside of just football, you know, higher ed, societal factors, where the SEC just didn't really have an option to not play.
Right.
I mean, when you see what's happening around the country with athletic departments, furloughs, it's just the SEC schools and athletic departments, while they generate a lot of revenue, the universities and the states aren't wealthy.
Right.
And football drives so much. So this was such a bigger conversation than just, you know, that you wanted to go for a national title. So much of it was cultural, societal. Like, it's just, you know, the slogan, it just means more. I know a lot of people laugh at it, but the reality is it's true in the Southeast. And I don't think there was ever an idea of not playing. It was always get me to a yes, and that's what the SEC's done.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I would also argue that LSU having one of the greatest seasons last year in college football history might have been like, there's no point in, like, trying to keep going, right? you've done everything you can do. That was probably the greatest college football season we've ever seen. So, you know, go home now.
What happened was LSU found an offense and the entire world went to hell. It was basically when LSU found a passing game and had the greatest offensive season in college football history, that was apocalyptic, essentially.
100%. And do you feel like Joe Burrow, how do you top that, you know, as LSU, or you're gearing up for season
two? You don't.
Yeah, right? You just try to do the best you can, but it never can be the same.
So, you know what, Candace, and I will give LSU fans a lot of credit for this, because they're not generally known to be the most level-headed lot, but they have, as a collective, looked at 2019 and recognized this is just going to be on a shelf in a box with a pretty bow forever.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean you can't win championships again. It doesn't mean you can't be dominant again. But then you're literally talking about a team that scored more points than any in the history of college football.
Right.
You're talking about a Heisman Trophy winner that won in the biggest landslide of the 85-year history of the award. Like, Biletnikoff Award, Thorpe Award, all the National Coach of the Year. Like, it just, they won everything. They beat everyone. They beat the crap out of everyone. It's never going to be that way. Joe Burrow threw 60 touchdown passes. Yeah. Like, people keep talking, hey, what is Miles Brennan? If Miles Brennan does half of what Joe Burrow did a year ago, here's perspective for you, Candace. If Miles Brennan throws 30 touchdowns, that would be half of what Joe Burrow did. But that would still be an LSU single-season record pre-Burrow. The record was 28.
Wow.
Held by Jamarcus Russell in the year that he went number one overall.
Yeah.
And Matt Mock the year LSU won the national title in 03. Like, it would still be an amazing season, and it would be literally half of what Burrow did.
Right.
It's just, it's never going to be that again, ever.
And that's okay. And you know, it's interesting because when Jamar Chase decided that he was going to opt out of the season and some other key guys for the team, it didn't seem as like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're betraying us. So it's kind of like, okay, you've done everything you need to do for us. Thanks anyway. You know, thanks for playing.
Yeah.
So
I think largely LSU fans did take that approach with Jamar. And I've told this story before, Candace. This may be big picture college football, maybe everyone may not remember this, but I referenced 2003. You know, LSU won the title in 03, and that was their first national title in 45 years. And for many LSU fans, they really questioned if they'd ever see the day. I mean, when you go half a century, I mean, you go two generations of fans without seeing it, you start to wonder, like, is this something that's just not attainable for this program? Which seems silly now, but when they won that national title in 03, it was really because Justin Vincent emerged and as a freshman running back and had a 1,000-yard season. It was awesome. And I remember leaving the Superdome that day and telling when they beat Oklahoma and telling my buddy, I said, man, if Justin Vincent never took another carry for LSU, I would still revere him forever. Because I was a senior at LSU and got to watch him win a national title.
Yeah.
And it was largely thanks to the type of season he had. Now, he went on to have a great career and, you know, won a Super Bowl with the Steelers and was great. But the point remains, I think it's the same with Jamar. It's like, he gave you such an incredible run. I think everyone keeps that in perspective and is like, it was plenty good enough. Thank you.
Absolutely. And so when I'm looking into Coach O and how he's going to lead this team this year, where do you see LSU finishing in the top 25 AP poll?
At the end of the season?
Yeah, if we make it that far.
Oh, wow. you went like right. I mean, you went right for the jugular.
Yeah. So
I think here's what I think is really interesting is I don't know how the pollsters are going to view a 10-game season. Mm. Like, you know, we have these sort of built-in preconceived notions. Like, if you go 10-2 in a 12-game season, you're probably going to finish top 10 and be in the New Year's Six. Like, we know that as a general benchmark if you're in the Power Five. Let's say the LSU has six layups this year. They had six games that they have no shot of losing. And then they got four that could go either way.
Right.
Florida, Auburn, A&M, Bama. Let's say they split those and go 8-2. Is 8-2 good enough to get you into the playoff this year when everybody's playing a 10-game schedule? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my feeling on what this team's going to do. I think they'll split those four games that I mentioned and finish 8-2. But is 8-2 sort of a New Year's Six season in a year where the Big Ten, Pac-12 aren't playing, so you have a smaller field? Probably. Is 8-2 good enough to get you back to Atlanta? If it's the right two. You know, I mean, if they beat Bama at home and maybe lose to Florida, and so they only have one Western Division loss,
sure,
and the tiebreakers work out, right, I think that could work in their favor.
Yeah.
But I just think it's such a strange year how it could all play out because none of us really know.
Yeah, well, see, I have locked on Tar Heels, and I have Carolina going 11-0. So I'm throwing everything out there this year because why not, right? It's 2020, and why not?
Hey, man, Mac Brown, he's got that train rolling. Why not? Get on the Sam Howell bus. I'm ready.
I'm just trying to say, well, Matt, I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to talking to you down the line. Final interview of the day. I've got Locked On Longhorns host Patrick Kahn. Talk to me about the Big 12. Talk to me about Sam Ellinger. Talk to me about Texas. It's all here on Locked On College Football. Welcome to Locked On College Football, where I am your Monday host. It's me, Candace Cooper. I'm super excited for the opportunity to talk college football. I think it's going to be such a wild year in 2020. And I have my first host from Locked On Longhorns. He is going to talk to me about the Big 12 and all that good stuff. Patrick Kahn is in the building. What's going on, Patrick?
Oh, well, I feel pretty special being the first guest on the Locked On College Football podcast. So that's pretty exciting. Obviously, you can check me and Ben out on Friday. So, big from Ben from Locked On Big Ten. You know, there's a lot of excitement. You know, college football's here. This past weekend, we got to see some games. So, you know, it's finally feeling real again, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the Big 12 was one of the Power 5 conferences to always kind of move forward and had the idea of playing in September. What do you think was the biggest reason behind it? And do you see teams finishing the whole season?
You know, it's tough when you look at it, but as far as why do I think they're playing is obviously the medical opinions that they've been getting. You know, the thing that was different from the Big 12 compared to some of the other conferences were, you know, not only were they meeting with athletic directors and head coaches, but they had two representatives from every Big 12 team meet when they were going to make these decisions, you know, as far as trying to figure out what's the best plan of action. Quarterback Sam Ellinger, you know, he kind of said that the Big 12 kind of, you know, or at least Texas anyway, had kind of been the gold standard where early on in the process when they were doing the onboarding, they had some cases of COVID-19. But since Texas has really put forth all of their efforts for a football season, they have had no outbreaks whatsoever. You know, so I think that a lot of it was, you know, the protocols that they put in place. Their strict testing that they're doing 3 times a week is what they had said. And obviously, if you test positive, there's MRIs and monitoring of the hearts, you know, because the one big thing that people are worried about is this myocarditis, which can affect the heart. But, you know, the thing that's interesting about that, and, you know, my father, coming from a medical background, he's a director in sleep, you know, and he told me, you know, when you think about the myocarditis, it's not mutually exclusive to COVID-19. I mean, people can get it from the flu. So, you know, it's not one of those ongoing things. People are like, oh, you can only get it here. But, you know, the testing, I think, is why we will have a season. You know, and I'm kind of iffy on if we'll finish it, but I'm cautiously optimistic that the Big 12 will finish out the season in some sort of fashion.
100%. Now, you mentioned Texas, and Kirk Herbstreit had a high praise and gave high praise for Texas coming out of the Big 12 and predicted them making the playoffs. What will Sam Ellinger and company bring this year that will finally get the Longhorns over that hump and make the college football playoffs?
You know, I think there's a lot of it. Obviously, Sam is the senior, the most experienced quarterback in the Big 12, you know, going into his third year starting for the program. So I think that has a lot to do with it. The fact that they have someone they can count on, because obviously losing Colin Johnson last year, losing Devin Duvernay from last year's team, you know, two of the top 10 in all-time Texas history for, you know, receiving. So you lost a lot of production, but they bring in Mike Yurcich, who's familiar with the Big 12, had some good years at Oklahoma State. Obviously last year he's passing in coordinator at Ohio State. You know, there's a lot of optimism surrounding what he's bringing. You know, the players have talked about it. They're excited about these new route concepts and some of the new wrinkles that he's bringing into the offense. Obviously, they have a standout freshman, or was a freshman last year, and Jake Smith, who's going to kind of command the slot role, which is a big role for Texas. So, you know, he's a guy you're going to watch out. Defensively, they bring in Chris Ash, who was very instrumental in the Ohio State National Championship of 2014. His defense really did well. And so you're talking about an opportunistic defense. Todd Orlando, just it never meshed with the program that he brought over. You know, it worked in Houston, but for whatever reason, in the Big 12, his defensive system didn't work. So now you bring in Chris Ash, who's going to be playing more of a defensive 4-3 scheme. Really, it's a 4-2-5 because most teams run out of 11 personnel with the three wide receivers. And they're taking Joseph Asai, who was a standout player in the Alamo Bowl, won defensive MVP honors, got 3 sacks in that game, which brought his season total to 5. And they're playing him more in that Jack hybrid pass rush role. So I think those are the reasons why there's optimism as far as what they can do.
Absolutely. Now, you recently ranked the top Big 12 football games of 2020, and you had the Red River rivalry, which is Texas and Oklahoma game, as number one. Do you think games will actually feel like rivalry games this year with the fan limitations that they have, and especially with Texas, and, you know, everything's bigger in Texas, and we're so used to Texas being that kind of in-your-face crowd that gets people going?
Yeah, you know, I think that, I mean, obviously at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas, you're going to have, you know, 25% capacity, 12.5% per side. So you're still going to get that fan interaction. But, you know, it's not just the fans. You know, when you look at the NFL level and you want those rivalries, and, you know, sometimes it rubs fans the wrong way because you have those teams that are, you know, they may be rivals on the field, but then you see them doing jersey swaps after games and things of that nature. But in the game of college football, with Texas, with Oklahoma, there is a pure hatred between those two. It's not just the fans, the players, the coaches. You know, they're constantly taking jabs at each other. So I think we're still going to have that rivalry environment. I still think that it's going to be heated. You know, because these are two teams that do not like each other whatsoever. And, you know, it's always been that way. So I think that when you think about everything going on, there's still going to be that rivalry moment.
100%. Now, final predictions. Texas will finish where in the top 25 AP polls when it's all said and done?
Well, when it's all said and done, I have Texas finishing as a top 10 team with a 9-1 record. Okay. I think that they're going to play for the Big 12 championship this year, given the – I know the big race, I should say, is going to be who's going to play Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game. I think we all agree the consensus is that Oklahoma will represent one of the teams there. And I think it's going to come down to Texas and Oklahoma State and who can come out on top. And, You know, while I predicted Oklahoma State to actually beat Texas for their lone loss this year in Stillwater, I still think that Texas does enough. And they'll be 9-1 going into the Big 12 championship.
9-1 is very ambitious. I have Carolina football going 11-0, so I feel the ambition vibes.
Well, you know, Mac Brown, he's got something going up there in North Carolina, you know, and obviously Mac Brown's a guy that I'm very familiar with during his time, his 15-year run here at Texas. So, you know, I he's a very good coach, and obviously he's getting big-time recruits going up there to Chapel Hill.
Absolutely. I'm glad he's had the Texas experience so he can bring that back to Carolina, because we've needed a coach of that caliber for a long time to get us where we think we've always been, but we haven't quite made it. So this is a Mac Brown stan account. I love Mac Brown. I'm hoping he is the real deal for sure. First year, I was definitely impressed. In year two, I'm kind of hoping that Sam Howell and company will do a good job. Well, Pat, I appreciate your time, and make sure you let all these people know where they can follow you and find your work.
Oh, yeah, follow me on Twitter at Pat Sports Guy, obviously. Monday through Friday, Locked On Longhorns. And then coming every Friday, me, Ben Stevens from the Locked On Big Ten Network are going to be your Friday host, get you set up for all the games of the weekend on the Locked On College Football Podcast.
It feels good to have college football back and bring excitement around sports again, but you got to be sure we keep this momentum going. Tonight, we have a game. BYU takes on Navy at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Follow Jacob Hatch and at Locked On Cougars for all of his predictions. He is gearing you up for the Cougars to get ready for their season opener, so you make sure you tune into that. Hosts for the week ahead. Tuesday, you've got Zach Blackberry and Isaiah Hull. Wednesday, you've got Andrew Wade and Josh Ward. Thursday, Matt Moscona and Kevin McGuire. And Friday, Ben Stevens and Patrick Kahn, plus an Action Network guest. So we're excited to have all these folks talking to you about college football. It is going to be a great week as we return and gear up for the season. That's all I have for you today, folks. Be sure to download and subscribe to Locked On College Football from anywhere you listen to your podcast, and get excited because football is back. Be smart, stay safe, and have a great week.